September 2021, Wednesday, 15 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears in studio with Glenn Coble. Don't forget, coming up today, A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble, 12:10 to 1 p.m. with Dr. Ron Feynman. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman from 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 to 7 p.m. today, all right here on your home. For Talking WWGH, what is Glenn Coble's favorite food? That's what we're looking for here, 740-383-9944. We want to give away some free passes to Zumbeezy Bay. The last weekend for Zumbeezy Bay is this coming weekend.
Is that right? Already?
Already.
Holy
mackerel. Labor Day weekend coming up. You got any big Labor Day weekend plans?
Probably not.
How exciting.
Preferably not going out with my dog like last night. I went out at 11 o'clock, took him for his 11 o'clock jaunt, and at 12:30 he jumped up on my chest and decided he wanted to go out again. So we went out for almost an hour then.
At 12?
Yeah, and no, it was 12:15. So we got back around 1, and then he got me up at 4, and then he got me up at 6:30. So it was a rough night. I'm having a hard time seeing where I'm talking.
You need a nap.
I do need a nap.
All right. Now, nobody knows your favorite food. Now, we had several guesses in regard to your favorite band.
Yeah, and finally got it right.
Yeah, go ahead, caller.
How about mac and cheese?
You know what? That is my least favorite food. I hate mac and cheese. But thank you for thinking about it.
We're going to have mac and cheese at the anniversary party and the Christmas party from now. Mac and cheese galore.
I hate mac and cheese.
All right.
You know what I hate about
mac
and cheese?
What's wrong with mac and cheese?
You put the big spoon into the mac and cheese and it goes...
Well, not mine.
Okay.
Mine doesn't do that.
Okay.
Whose mac and cheese are you eating?
My mother's.
Oh, man.
She made us eat it occasionally.
Apparently all the time. It's giving you a real nasty spell.
Well, my dog ate a lot of mac and cheese that I would hand it down.
So we want to know your favorite food.
Yeah.
On this first day of September.
A lot of people
2021.
Would have this as their favorite food.
All right, 740-383-9944.
And I won't give any more hints, because I gave Adam the C.S. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
You know, apparently, we did come to a contretemps last week, though, in the whole John Adams situation.
I have never heard that word, contretemps.
Yeah, contretemps.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to have to look it up.
We came to a peace agreement.
Okay.
Me and Dr. Feynman.
Now, I've heard of a detente, but never a contretemps.
A contretemps.
Okay.
This is not the point of what I'm saying on the whole John Adams situation.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good. Go ahead, caller.
Fried chicken?
You know, that was the second thing I thought people would ask. Mac and cheese was the first. But, no, I'm not a big fan of Kentucky. Well, I do like fried chicken, but that's not my favorite. Yeah.
Not the fried chicken. Not the mac and cheese. What is Glenn's favorite food? 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz here. Maybe some Zumbeezy Bay passes will come your way.
That would be fun.
But we had a contretemps.
Okay. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, contretemps. Go ahead, caller.
My best favorite food is beef liver.
Ooh.
He used to sit around eating that when he was watching Lawrence Welk.
My mother made me eat beef liver and onions with at least once a month because my father
made you
loved
eat it raw too, didn't she?
Huh?
She made you eat it raw too?
Oh, no, thank you.
Wouldn't that be awful?
Oh, gosh. It's bad enough cooked. It would make my tongue roll up in the back of my mouth. You ever had a food that does that to you?
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Thank you. No beef liver.
No. Pass on the beef liver.
All right. Favorite food, 740-383-9944.
I used to like the first two bites of liver and onions. After that, it would make my tongue roll up in the back of my
head. Why the first two bites?
I don't know. I guess it was probably the onion that I liked.
Well, couldn't you get a little more onion?
Well, I suppose I could have. That's why.
Sautéed.
White Castle hamburgers.
Now, see, I'm not a fan of those.
I don't like them with pickles.
No. I'm not a fan of the White Castle. Go ahead, caller.
How about steak?
Getting closer, but not quite right.
not quite right with the steak. All right, what is the favorite food here of Glenn?
Steak is my second favorite.
Steak is very good. Now, how do you like your steak?
I like it medium rare.
Medium rare? I like it well done.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I don't like all that stuff coming out.
The juice dripping down your chin.
You know, no, I like it well done with the A1 on it.
Oh, gosh. You very know how to kill a steak.
Good. Go ahead, caller.
Prime rib.
Ooh, she's getting even closer. Actually, well, prime rib is
I know what it is. I know what it is. Filet mignon.
Ooh, I do like that. But nope,
that's not filet mignon. Not filet mignon.
You know, actually, prime rib was the first thing I thought of when you asked that. And then I thought, no, I do like this other thing better. So it's not that.
Well, what's wrong with the way I eat a steak?
You're not eating steak. You're
eating, well, I think it is.
A1 sauces.
No, A1. What do you, it's called A1.
Okay. You know what's in? Have you read what's in A1?
What do you put? What do you? Not A and
one. A1. I eat it medium rare, straight off the grill. You know, I don't put anything.
You don't
on
put
it.
Anything on it.
Little salt, little pepper.
Oh, see, I don't. No,
I like pepper on a steak.
Pepper is bad.
Well, I put pepper on a steak because my doctor told me not to use too much salt.
But pepper will ruin hamburgers, steaks, all kinds of
you
things.
You didn't have a sister like I did. She loved pepper on everything.
Go ahead, caller.
Lasagna.
Ooh, lasagna. Yeah, that. If you had asked my favorite Italian food, that would have been it. But no, that's not it.
Now, do you like ricotta cheese and lasagna?
I don't.
See, I don't like ricotta cheese.
A lot of people don't. They want cottage cheese. But I love that cheese.
Or just some extra mozzarella.
You got to be careful of drowning stuff in mozzarella.
Not me.
People love it because it melts all over the place, and I'm real careful with that. I don't. And my wife, she has a little tummy problems with cheese and milk and stuff like that. So we have
lactose.
Yes.
Go ahead, caller.
Did anybody say salad?
Oh my goodness. I didn't like salad till I was 70.
Really?
And now I like it a lot, but I don't, because I grow it. So I go out in my backyard and pick my lettuce, and I pick my, my tomatoes are great this year. I should have brought some in to you.
Yeah, I haven't seen them.
I will bring one in to you tomorrow.
There, one.
Well, so you must have remembered the water, yeah.
Oh, I did, yes. And we probably spent more money on water than it would have cost to buy the tomatoes.
Did you hear that Glenn knows Space Ghost coming to the Popcorn Festival?
I must have missed that.
Yeah.
I must have missed that, too.
Well, you said you knew that band.
Well,
whatever it's called.
Great White.
Oh, what?
Great White.
Great Light.
Great White.
Yeah, great.
Oh, excuse me. Is there egg on my face?
Well, I just saw it on I don't know the band. I just saw it on their advertisements. So.
Well, they weren't exactly what you'd call a one-hit wonder. I think they were pretty successful.
Were they? I'm going to have to look them up and play some of their stuff. That was the one thing I liked about being on the Popcorn Festival committee is I could go listen to music. When I'm laying in my deathbed in about 6 or 7 days, that's what I want. I want my wife to put my headphones on and let me go with music. I love
a
music.
A lot of people do that.
Do they really? Oh, well, I thought
it
was
I've
original.
Yeah, I've heard of it. When my grandma died of cancer, they had a collection of CDs that you could borrow, kind of like, you know, how you check out a library book, you could borrow the CD. And some were like the sounds of like water, nature, rain, and all that.
Well, I
want to go out to like AC/DC or something like cool like that.
Yeah.
So what about this station?
Thunderstruck. Bang.
People need to go out to this station.
Yeah.
I don't want to die to the sound.
She has a hard enough time keeping the bus on the road when she's listening to the station.
I tell you, we can hurry up the process if people put this station on the air.
You said process one more time. Let's get hurry up the process. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Take care. No, I think a lot of people have went out to this station.
Have gone out to the station.
Well, I don't. I think they
have
went out.
Have went out is incorrect grammar.
According to who?
according to...
Well, what are we saying? I'm father. Saying they went out.
Oh, okay.
Went out to a party.
Okay. You can say whatever you want. I really don't care.
No, I'm confused, though, because what is... if they went out to a party...
It's the way you said it. I'm sorry. I can't repeat it because I'm not quite sure what I'm talking about.
No, it was good. You want to sing?
No.
Well, everybody else is singing on the show today. Okay, what's your favorite food? 740-383-9944. That's what we want to know here
today.
They've
been beating around the corners on it.
Beating the corners.
Yep.
Shaking the rugs.
They've mentioned everything that I really love and many of the things that I really hate, but not the one I...
Not the one you really like.
Yeah.
What a thing. You know who East used to eat his steak with A1 sauce?
Who?
Well done. John Adams.
Is that right?
He did.
I didn't know A1
was
that
old. As he
was
writing his...
doesn't A1... Yeah,
papers, his letters to Thomas Jefferson.
Huh. How do you know that? Were you there?
Yeah, I was friends with the... Do you understand... Now I'm serious about this John Adams thing.
Okay.
Because we've moved past all the contretemps about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I didn't look at
that. Yeah, the whole contretemps.
Go ahead.
But why do people have such a hard time giving John Adams a good shake?
I don't. I think of him as one of our founding fathers, and I respect all of our founding fathers.
Yeah, but why would you put George Washington and Thomas Jefferson... above him, far above him in that line, Lincoln even, in the great presidents of all time, because you have to look at how we got to where we got.
And again, I don't put any of our founding fathers in any order, quite frankly.
But see, here's the problem, though. Are we just talking about their presidency, or are we talking about their life? Because that's what I say. I think Eisenhower does not end up ranking as high, if we're not talking about his military career. I think U.S. Grant does not end up as high, if we're not talking about his military career. I think Washington does not end up as high, if we're not talking about his military career. Mm-hmm. So, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about their lives? Are we talking about their military? Are we talking about their presidency? What are we talking about?
Well, yeah, that's a that is the nut to get to. I would say policies enacted and direction of the country are the two things that are more important than your military background, your smile. A lot of people liked President Clinton because he had a wonderful smile.
But he was a good speaker.
He was a great speaker.
He got...
Not quite as good as Obama, but yes, he was very...
See,
good.
I think he was better.
Yeah.
I really do, because I remember that debate. And Clinton had much higher obstacles to overcome. George Bush was a sitting president. We had had 12 years of we had 8 years of Reagan, 4 years of Bush. He was facing an incumbent. Bush was popular because of the first Iraq war. He had like a 90% approval rating at one point.
Yeah.
Obama, I still believe anybody would have won that 2008 election. George W. Bush was so unpopular his vice president didn't run for anything. John McCain was the opposition. He was not seen as a strong opposition that year. And I think the Democrats knew that whoever they ran in 2008 was going to be the president.
It didn't mean that he wasn't a great orator.
Oh, no, he's a great speaker.
I think he's probably the best speaker that we've ever had as a president.
See, I think that's...
I've read a lot of the speeches. That's one thing I do read. I've read a lot of speeches. The Gettysburg Address was no finer than some of the addresses that Obama has done. As far as
my problem...
It was very short.
Oh, I see.
Very nice.
Good speeches have been written for people who delivered them poorly.
Yes, that's true.
I think that's the... Well, are we talking about good speech writers, or are we talking about good speakers?
Well, speech writers anymore seem to be... they're trying to be too schmaltzy. The nice thing about the Gettysburg Address, even though it's a little stilted in its language because of the time, it's straight to the point and very precise. And I think what Obama, the way Obama delivered his speeches, which, by the way, if he didn't write them in full, he rewrote them in full, and I think he just delivered them extremely well with all of his poetic poises. You know, he would stop and let you think about his words.
Well, see, but I think Bill Clinton got it better, because I remember where he walked over during that debate to that woman who said, you know, she didn't have enough money and it just wasn't enough, and he said, I feel your pain. You know, he got that. Now, that's a Bill Clinton.
Did you believe it?
People did. He won in a landslide against an incumbent.
That's the key to a speech.
Yeah, I think people believe Bill Clinton.
He talks good.
He was able to do what Jimmy Carter couldn't do. Be very Southern, but have empathy toward people. And nobody ever thought Jimmy Carter was empathetic. They thought he was dictatorial. When he gave that speech on malaise and what we were going to have to do, and this was the way it's going to be done, it was a bad, bad speech, and probably cost him,
that up again,
right along with the Iran-Contra, I think pretty much, or not Iran-Contra, the Iran hostage crisis, I think cost him the presidency.
The Iran-Contra should have done away with the next president. So.
Well, but now there was a good communicator, he got how to give a speech.
A lot of people tell me that. I never really enjoyed his speeches, but I did. I think he had good speech writers, and I think he delivered them very well. Yeah.
I think Kennedy was a good speech giver. I mean, his inaugural is quoted more than anybody's.
Yeah, and I read it on the air for my listeners on Progressive Life one time, or one of the shows, and I read the whole thing, and the first half of it, I was bored to tears.
Well, that's
it. The second half of it was
great.
See,
because we're coming back to the speaker. Kennedy could give a great speech.
And I listened to it before I gave it, and I was bored the first half of that speech. The first half of the speech is kind of typical politics, typical political rhetoric.
And then Roosevelt. Roosevelt did the fireside chats, and he got... People did believe him.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, people thought they were going to die and go to Roosevelt. That's the impact this man had on people.
Go to Roosevelt.
Yeah, they did. I think Bill Clinton said his grandfather said that. That's what he thought. That's where he thought he was going to go when he died. And, you know, every president, Democrat, since Roosevelt has had impact. Has been impacted by Roosevelt. I mean, Truman tried to carry out Roosevelt's policies. Kennedy, the Peace Corps was based on the New Deal. Johnson said that Roosevelt was like a father to him, and that's where the New Deal under Johnson came from.
What was that called? He had a name for that.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter announced he was running in Warm Springs, Georgia, where Roosevelt died.
I've been there.
Yeah. Clinton, as I say, thought that said his father was going to go to, or his grandfather was going to go to Roosevelt when he died. And Obama, most of his plans are very New Deal-ish, and said he studied a lot of Roosevelt before he came in.
Well, I don't know... I don't know if this is true. I'm not an expert in all this. We'll have to ask Dr. Feynman.
And John Adams was a hero of Franklin Roosevelt.
I believe that FDR really started the beginnings of the modern Democratic Party, the empathetic, caring about fellow citizens type party.
Maybe. But what I think FDR did brilliantly, and Reagan did this too for the Republicans, was like him or dislike him, and this is why a lot of Republicans really hate Roosevelt, and a lot of Democrats really hate Reagan, is because I believe Roosevelt's idea of what the presidency was him as president. He didn't look to other people. What he thought was right was what the president should do. I don't think he looked like Obama and Clinton and Carter. I think all looked at history and they thought, okay, what does the office of the presidency
should they do?
What should they do? Yeah. I think Roosevelt thought what I do is right.
And I think that's kind of, there's a little echo of that in the Biden presidency. He's going to do what he believes is right. And I like presidents like that. I don't mind if I disagree with you. As long as you honestly believe it, I'm going to go along with you.
Well, this is what I think Reagan remade the presidency. I think he came in and people, I remember when Bush became president, Reagan was president. To those people, they brought Reagan's name up at every
still
convention.
Do.
Still, he just, and I think Reagan thought that too. I think Reagan thought that the idea of president was whatever I think. I think he thought himself, and it's interesting because Reagan was a disciple of Roosevelt.
Is that right?
That's right. It's when I believe, somebody might correct me when I'm wrong on this, but I believe it's during the Eisenhower years is when Reagan became a Republican.
Okay. Well, I've told this more than once on the air. My grandfather and grandmother were Republicans, so were my parents. So was I for a long while. But my grandfather wouldn't even allow us to talk about FDR.
And people hate Reagan for that reason too, but yet he won 49 states.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who liked him.
A lot of people.
Pastor Craig has asked me to be on his show this coming Sunday. And
11 a.m.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm going to try to prove what I really believe. I believe presidents, and I'm going to try to live this, I believe presidents talk straightly and honestly from their heart, whether it's politically right or wrong. And there are a lot of presidents we've had that have judged what the current feelings in the wind are, and I think that's a bad way to be a president.
Could be. I don't know. I get the impression that a lot of people, this idea of the office, that you have to act a certain way. Now, I don't know about that.
The president's a man or a woman,
right?
As the future case will be, but that's all they are. They're nothing more. Some of them are brilliant. Some of them are ignorant. They're just one person, and the decision stops there. Well, in the last president, this decision didn't quite stop there.
Who do you think was the greatest person who got to the election who did not become president?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Wow. Okay, Hillary.
Hillary. A lot of people feel that.
Yeah, I would say Hillary was. She was far more qualified than Trump. She was far more intelligent than Trump. She was far more everything than Trump, except Trump certainly had more charisma than she did.
But same could be said about Obama, because she ran against him in the primary of 2008. And Obama had zero, he didn't even show up for a lot of votes as a state senator, or a senator, not a state senator.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah, but he, I mean, this was a former first lady, senator from New York during 9/11.
She was well.
Head and shoulders first. Above Obama.
Head and shoulders above everybody government.
Yeah. But he was charismatic, and they put him on all the newspapers and the things, and that's the way it went.
And it kind of proved the point of being a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you support all people, and the most obvious thing that he had that nobody else had that was running, he was black.
Well, you know, that was an interesting election because he was black and she was a woman.
Yep.
So either way, you were going to get something that had never happened.
And she did win the next election after he left.
Right, but you're probably right on Hillary. I know people hate her, and that's why she's never been elected.
I don't understand.
Well, they do. And
well, she got, 2 million, 3 million more votes than Trump got, so she didn't really lose. She was just not given the seat because of the Electoral College.
Well, I think she believes what...
she was a great statesman.
Well, I think she believes what other people believed, like Roosevelt and like Reagan, that I think she thought what she thought was right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't based in anything else.
You're not going to go into politics, and this is kind of admitting something about me. You're not going to go into politics if you think you might be wrong.
Well, and I think Obama knew that he needed her, because he went to her very quickly after the... He made her his Secretary of State.
And she was a phenomenal Secretary of State. That was a great duo, I believe.
Well, I think he knew. If he did not smooth things over with her and get her to go out there and send her supporters his way, that he would have had trouble in the main.
I suppose. I'm not sure he was that calculated about it. I think he really liked her.
Well, I remember there was a big meeting that went on. There was a... Because they had a nasty knockdown, drag-out primary.
They did have a nasty drag.
And she did not win. She lost by very little.
Yes, it was
very little. But he went to her, and they had a meeting. And I think he promised her at that point the Secretary of State position.
I think probably that's his... to his benefit, because he saw that sort of thing. He saw how smart she was. He saw how she could control State Department choices and decisions. And I think that's a great president is going to make some great picks.
You know what I really think went on there? Now, this is just my opinion, and I have no proof to back this up. But I think he went and offered her the vice presidency. And I think she said no. I think she said, there's no power in that. I don't want it. I'm a senator from New York. I don't need that. And then I think
right.
he said,
Probably.
And then I think he's, because Secretary of State's most generally the second most powerful person in the cabinet.
Yeah.
And I think she said, well, Secretary of State, and I'll throw my support your way.
Well,
and she did.
Neither one of us know what really happened there, but I think that's a logical...
I just don't think you would go and offer somebody that, and clearly it had to have been decided early, because he hadn't even selected his vice president yet. He hadn't selected Biden. So I just don't see Hillary Clinton being anybody's vice president.
When did he select Biden?
Would have been later that summer, before the convention.
I think he, like I said, a great leader will select great people to be around them. I think that's one of the problems. Whether you like Trump or hate Trump, he didn't really pull in great minds around him. As a matter of fact, they got dumber and dumber and dumber as they got fired.
Adlai Stevenson,
yeah,
I think was somebody. People
was
liked
good.
People liked Eisenhower because of his war credentials,
right.
And he never got to be president. But I think Adlai Stevenson was a very smart man.
Yeah, I think he was too. And even though I think I would have voted for Eisenhower because I was being brought up as a Republican, I think I liked Adlai Stevenson.
Well, Adlai Stevenson goes into John Kennedy's circle when John Kennedy gets in, and then he becomes the United Nations. He's the one who went to the United Nations during the Cuban Missile Crisis and
yes.
told Russia... He gave this great speech at the United Nations, Adlai Stevenson.
Yeah.
And people forget about that.
Yeah. People forget about a lot of things in government. You've got to have the right words. You've got to have a great speech writer to be remembered.
It's just interesting to me when I know that people have clear biases in their political belief, who they revere. Because I don't think... I'd love to know who does these lists. Because I don't know that they do it from a strictly...
nonpartisan?
Yeah, intelligent... okay, let's take a look at this person. Not necessarily do they believe what I believe. But were they good for what they did?
Well, one of the things they do also is they draw public opinion polls. And if I'm not an astute politician, but I pay more attention to politics than most of the people that I know, and I don't know enough about most of the people that are running to give you an honest answer. I don't think America knows who they're voting on. They may know the leaders, but they only know what the publicist let them know about the leaders. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough... The problem with having one person, one vote, is there are a lot of dumb people around, and there are a lot of smart people around, and never the twain shall meet.
Well, it's interesting, because you were going to ask Dr. Feynman a question last week, and then I think he kind of cut in the middle of the question, and I don't think you ever did ask the question.
Which one was that?
Well, the question was, when comparing...
Because he's probably listening now.
Oh, okay, well, maybe this question will come up. But I think the question was, because I was saying that I thought John Adams was a great... I think if you're looking at the presidency, his is better than Jefferson's or Washington's. Now, remember, you've got to take Washington's military career out of it. And you've also got to take the Declaration of Independence out of Jefferson's. So,
yeah, but don't you think Washington's military career would be reflected in the decisions he made as president?
Well, I think, again, that's why Adams has to be... You have to incorporate that into Adams' presidency, because...
He wasn't a general.
He wasn't a general, but George Washington wouldn't have been the general had there not been John Adams.
Yeah.
And Thomas Jefferson... Adams was going to write the Declaration of Independence, but he said, no, the person best suited to do this is Thomas Jefferson.
Put good people around himself.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's, to me, why he's number one.
He was a jerk.
Because he got it done. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah, and I'm not sure he was a jerk. That's what...
I think he was a person who let people know how he felt.
Some of the best leaders I've ever known were jerks, because they believed in what they thought, and they weren't going to let other people sway them because they were convinced of what they thought. And I've had a couple of bosses like that, even though I thought they were wrong, I did what they asked because they were so confident.
Well, it's interesting to me because I keep hearing that because Adams was only a one-term president, that makes him not great. Now, I don't understand that, because to me, he made some decisions that clearly he knew were going to hurt him, and yet he made them.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't worried about... he wanted to be reelected, I'm sure, but he didn't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, when I was running for office, that's one of the things I told people, is that I probably would only be, a one-term state representative, because I was going to make decisions that were going to be hard.
But the question to Dr. Feynman last week that didn't get answered was, because there's a lot of this hubbub made about putting journalists in jail by Adams, which, again, Abigail's the one who encouraged him to sign it. He didn't really want to sign it. And Congress is the one that passed it. He didn't come up with it. And how many people were in prison? Very few. So, based upon that, question is...
And they weren't in prison very long.
No. And on civil liberties, the point is, that's what they say. He was a great... he was against civil liberties because he did that. But you have Washington and Jefferson, who both had slaves. Now, we can say that that was the time, but Adams wrote about slavery.
Yeah,
and said
he
understood it. He said, I hire people to do my work. And I forget the exact quote, but that he did not feel we would be a free country until the slaves were freed. So you can't say that Washington and Jefferson just were at the time. Well, because Adams got it.
No, I think you can say they were did what the times allowed them to do. Not that they agreed with it, but that's what the times allowed them to do, and that's what they needed to do to make money, because they owned plantations. But Adams was a stronger personality.
But so can you even compare the journalist thing with a lifetime of both of them earning slaves if we're talking about civil liberties?
I'm confused.
I mean, well, that's one of the big criticisms of Adams, is that he signed this law allowing journalists to be tried and put in prison. But yet, owning people, which Washington and Jefferson did, even though it was not illegal, well, what Adams did wasn't illegal. Congress passed it.
Wasn't it about 3 or 4 weeks ago where you were saying that if it's against the law, those Texas people that left the state should be... thrown in jail?
And I think this fits the bill here.
Okay, then they were doing what was legal, so there's nothing wrong with it.
And so was Adams.
Yeah.
So how can we chastise Adams for doing this?
I don't think you should chastise
Adams.
But
that's what I keep hearing.
Throwing, you were talking about the media.
Yeah.
Throwing them.
Yeah, but it was legal.
Yeah.
Congress passed it.
There are a lot of things that have been done in the United States that are stupid and not thought out.
What I'm saying at the time was Washington, and by the way, a whole lot of other people, Washington and Jefferson both owned slaves.
Didn't you tell me 10 out of 12, the first 12 owned slaves?
Yeah. So they were. It was legal. I'm not saying they did anything illegal, but we criticized Adams for the whole thing with the media, but that was legal too.
I never criticized him.
But that's the big criticism I keep hearing of his presidency, that he was such against civil liberties. Well, how can you say he was against civil liberties if the two men owned slaves and we can't say that was a civil liberties violation?
Well, I find it hard to defend because I never even knew that he...
No, but I think that's the question you were going to ask Dr. Feynman.
Okay, all right. Hey, Dr. Feynman, that's the question that I'm going to ask.
Is how can we criticize Adams for that if we... Because later on we obviously figured out, and then the Constitution changed it, that you shouldn't be owning people.
When did the Constitution go from saying that slaves... were slaves, and that then moved to African American people were three-fifths of a white person.
Well, see, that's interesting because who had a hand in writing that?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I don't know. We'll ask Dr. Feynman.
The people at the Constitutional Convention, but I think that's very interesting.
Was that done at the Constitutional Convention? Is that where
the Constitution was produced there?
Is it in the Constitution that black African-Americans are three-fifths of a man?
But I guess to you, I'm asking you before we hear from Dr. Feynman, what do you think is the greatest violation there, civil liberty-wise?
Oh, of course, the slave owners.
Yeah, so why don't we reflect on that at all?
Oh, I think we do. I think there are a lot of people, especially... in our woke time, there are a lot of people that are saying, you know, Columbus was a pretty rotten guy. The slave owner presidents were in the wrong.
Right, but see, that's funny because, what is it, 10 of the first 12 or whatever that number is, if we would disqualify them, much like we do Columbus now and other people, just lower their rankings, the only one who stays up is John Adams.
Well, they may slowly... deteriorate in their rankings, but I don't really care what a person is ranked. They're dead. They're not going to do anything for the government right now.
Right, but the issue that I have is more with history, that we're always going to know Washington because he's first and Revolutionary War. We're always going to know Jefferson because of Declaration of Independence, and we're not going to pay as close attention to Adams, even though his thinking on slavery at that time was far more correct to what we have now. And he also gave those two the ability to do the things that made them great in people's eyes.
So as far as I'm concerned, he was a great president.
Yeah, I would think John Adams would have to be number one.
Well,
because
I'm not gonna rank him.
Well, no, but of those three.
Because I think ranking
of
is
those
stupid.
Three, of those three. Of the three we're talking about, he would have to be the one.
Not in my mind. Truly, in my mind, I don't rank people like that. I know that the general population has a great time ranking presidents, but I don't find it that.
But if we're talking Washington, Adams, and Jefferson, just on what we've learned and went through the last month here.
They were all presidents.
They were all presidents. Who would you say had the greatest impact?
Oh, I don't know because I wasn't there. I don't know how anybody can say who had the greatest impact. It's all speculation. It's all looking back on history without firsthand knowledge.
Well, but then we've got to stop saying who was at the bottom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we get that a lot here in Marion with Harding.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't.
No, I think the past president gave him a good run for his money at the bottom.
Well, see, but you can't do that either.
I know.
We're going to put him at the top now.
Why put him anywhere? As far as I'm concerned, they were all presidents. Some of them did a good job. Some of them did a bad job.
But see, that's the thing.
I was afraid you were going to
yank good or bad
headphones out of your
head. See, it can happen. The headphones can't come out. What is good and what is bad?
Yeah, well, I think you have to judge each individual event that a president does on its own merit. That's one of the reasons why I find it really difficult to give President Trump very much positive adulation, because I can't remember anything he did that I thought was very positive. So I'm sure there were things.
Oh, there were. Yeah. But I just think, you know, he was good at what he did, obviously.
What was that?
Well, he became president.
Okay, but that doesn't mean you're good at being the president.
Well, no, but I was having a conversation the other day with a high-up politician, and they said to me...
High-up state-wise, high-up nationally?
National, okay. National. All right. And they said to me, what I've always believed is what the Democrats have yet to understand about him. Because the Republicans, it doesn't really matter, because they're just trying to get reelected, much like the Democrats. But what the Democrats don't get, because they are in opposition to him, is that they don't get how smart he is. They mark him off as some kind of
buffoon.
Yeah, and that's they do it all the time.
Yeah, I do.
And he comes back and he nails them on it, and that's how he's able to garner population.
How did he nail anybody on that?
Well, first of all, nobody thought he was going to beat Hillary, and he did.
He didn't. But, he lost to Hillary by over 3 million votes.
But by the game we play, the Electoral College, that would have also given it to Al Gore, would have given...
That would have been a better choice, too.
But it happened.
Okay.
So he played that game better in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Florida, in Ohio. He just played that game better.
When he ran against Hillary.
Right.
So he cheated better.
Well, I don't know what went on there, but I'm saying he got it. Okay. And he also, his supporters, I have never seen, I don't care what the percentage is, 30, 50, 40, whatever it is, his supporters are more fervent than any other supporter I've ever seen.
And that he is good at.
That's right.
As developing a hardcore base that hates the other side.
And he made the Republicans either like him or not be there. He turned that party around. He took this party of Reagan and made it something totally different.
Yes.
And he can say something about you and cause your election to go belly up.
He didn't do that to my election.
No, but the Republicans, he can.
I did it all on my own.
But he just, you know, and that's where people underestimate him. His bargaining technique. Yeah, that's I don't know why the underestimation keeps coming. And I will go on record and say that if the pandemic didn't happen, I do believe he would have been reelected. I don't think there would have been any doubt. I think.
Oh, there's doubt.
It's slim to me, because he...
Oh, there's a lot of doubt. There's at least 50-some percent of the people would doubt that, because there are at least that many people, I'm sure, that were going to vote against him, no matter if the pandemic was...
Right, but I do believe...
He might have won.
Yeah, but I do...
Electoral college.
Well, I think Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, again, were hairs close. Hairs.
Absolutely.
Now, you take the pandemic out of that.
Was it 10,000 votes in Georgia?
Yeah, and Georgia. Yeah. And Arizona was close. You take the pandemic out of that, and he wins those? I think there would have been enough pandemic votes to sway that.
Well, that's really, and I don't mean to be flip here, that's your opinion. I'm not sure that's true, and I don't think anybody knows what's true.
Well, we never know
it's a supposition.
What do you call that? Hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
Yeah, you never know.
Who told you they hated hypotheticals the other day?
The mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Politician.
Well, I agree with him.
Well, but it's very interesting to me that was, I believe, that was his Waterloo. And I think getting COVID before the election was not very good for him. But if he had, I've never seen a president with a good economy lose an election.
I really thought the getting COVID right before the, I thought that was a brilliant move. I didn't think he really had it. I thought he was playing for the sympathy card.
I don't think it worked for his people.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, and he needed that.
And I think it did hurt him. But as a diehard Democrat, I really did think he was putting that on for a while.
It was an interesting time.
Why in the world would he run around in a closed-in limousine and wave at people while making, what, four or five people in that car sick with him? I don't know if any of them ever did get sick. Do you know?
I think some people on the plane did.
Oh, did
when
they?
He first caught it.
Oh, I believe so.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. So they gave it to him.
Who gave it to him?
I think it was that Hicks woman. I don't know if we really know somebody on that plane trip, but I know she tested positive at one point.
Yeah, and she was cute.
There you go.
So there might have been a little tongue action there.
Coming up next, A Progressive Life. And then we've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman at 4. And Trinity Baptist Church at 5. And have a good Labor Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Popcorn Festival.
And the Popcorn Festival. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Huh? It's not sangria.
Oh, no. Sangria is in Italy. This is guava berry juice.
Guava berry.
Have you ever heard of guava berry?
I have had a lot of guava berry juice, non-alcoholic.
This has got guava berries in it in the bottom, and it's called guava berry rum.
Oh, okay.
Drinking rum and Coca-Cola.
By the way, I do want to wish a happy 95th birthday to Jane Meadows. Turned 95.
Well,
yeah,
you have to get her on a few days ago. You have to get her on if you get through her secretaries.
Her secretaries are difficult to get through. Once you get to Jane, you're okay. The secretaries are a little difficult.
Force field it's around.
Force field around Jane Meadows.
Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495, webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the